Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins. We are back with another episode of the B. Scott Show podcast, and I am excited to be back and to be fellowshipping with each of you love muffins that listen to the show. I am accompanied by my dream team. I have Brian, Denver, and Walker.
Hola.
Hello.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
It is Taco Tuesday.
So, wait, is that, so didn't LeBron get some slack about that? Like, because he was doing that and that acts like kind of like imitating Mexican people or something like that.
Did he? That sounds like something that would happen.
You know, you can't do anything. Oh, okay. I thought he tried
to trademark it too.
Wow. Okay. He tried to pull a Kardashian.
Yeah. It worked.
Okay. Taco Tuesday. Well, we are back on a Tuesday. We are here, and in LA today is gloomy.
It's the worst. And
it's the worst. I was like, it kind of feels like, is it like, I was like, wait a minute, it's not June gloom because it's not June.
Not yet.
So it's just gloom.
It's just gloomy. It's terrible. Mm. But I told you earlier I had to go to the dentist today. So it kind of like matched my mood. The whole day is just
like you went in at the dentist. Like
I did.
You had
I
all
did.
The so things.
I went in for, two cavities, one on the top and one on the bottom. And while they were doing the one on the top, they were like, actually, bitch, your cavity has a cavity. So we're going to go ahead and do these three. Wow. And I was like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, so, yeah. That's mean. That's, yeah.
They did them.
Teeth, you know, the thing about teeth, and I would just say this, like, it does not get better.
No.
Like, we all have to take strides to make sure that our teeth are where it needs to be because it's a slippery slope. And like, if you drop the ball for a second and go back to the dentist, after quite some time of being, you know, of not going to dentist, they were going to hit you with like, so yeah.
And that's what happened, you know, like I hadn't gone cause I was moving and then the pandemic happened. And so now that we're kind of coming out of it, I'm like, oh, let me go to the dentist and get my shit together. And then they were like, you have a lot of shit to get together.
Yeah. I remember one time years ago, I went to the dentist and it was like, they like threw everything at me, the whole kit and caboodle. And I needed like injections in my damn gum line or some shit. I was like, what the hell is happening? I didn't even know they did like injections in the antibiotics and type of, I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like y'all really are trying to ramp the bill. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like when you go and get a car repair.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like that. It's like, you know, they just trying to look for things like extra shit they can charge you.
Right. When you go in for that oil change and then the next thing you know, everything's wrong.
You know, you need to change your air filter. My air filter.
You know, you need new tires.
You need a new transmission. So yeah. So okay. So you went to dentist, got that together. Mm-hmm. I have just been. I've been feeling like I'm just discombobulated. I think I'm just like I'm all over the place.
Why
I'm like, one minute I'm doing this, the next minute I'm like over here doing that. Next minute I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna lay down, take a nap. I'm like, but I can't sleep, so I'm gonna back up. Like, it's just, I don't know. Is Mercury in retrograde right now or something?
Something.
Good question.
Shit, maybe I'm just in retrograde.
He's got some retrograde.
I'm in retrograde. Shit. So yeah, you know, like a part of the, you know, the thing that is challenging about doing the podcast is the subject matter oftentimes can get really heavy. And today's, you know, subject matter is like no way around us not having a discussion about the latest person to die at, you know, from police brutality. And just how it's like the chain. What struck me about the situation is that it's the chain of events that have been set in place for this to happen. And at any point in this chain of events, something could have been done differently and it would not have happened, you know, but I think the system is set up in a way for this type of situation to happen to us. Mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about is I hope I pronounce this right. I think it's Dante, right?
Yeah, it's Dante.
Okay, Dante, because then his spelling was, okay. So Dante Wright. Well, I'm just making sure.
No. Continue.
Dante Wright, you know, he was pulled over for having air freshener hanging from his rearview mirror situation. And that right there alone is an issue for me because
it's really ridiculous.
It's really ridiculous. And only Black people, from what I have seen, put air freshener on the rearview mirror. So that is something targeted directly to us. Why is that a violation? Why can't my car smell good?
Okay.
Like that's like, what? Like, why can't I put, people should be able to put air freshener anywhere they want to in their car. So they did that just because I believe it was targeting people of color. And so pulled Dante over, they were talking to him or pulling up whatever, they saw that he had a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the warrant was issued because he had, was smoking a joint and was arrested for that and pled guilty for that. And then had fines for that, did not pay the fines. They sent him notice, some type of notice, and it was returned to sender because he had moved.
Right.
And so once he didn't pay those fines, they then issued a warrant for his arrest. And so that warrant for arrest, when he was pulled over for air freshener, that is how everything kind of escalated. And you know what the crazy thing about it is that ultimately he died because of something that white people just arbitrarily decided now is legal.
Right. That's the crazy thing.
That's what's so frustrating about all of this. Like, think about how many people of color have been in the system or still in the system. Like, this just happened. So he has a whole record for something that white people have just decided, okay, well, we're going to make this legal. And that's what's so frustrating about it. It's so frustrating. And then have the nerve to say that she thought that it was her taser and not the gun. And a taser and a gun weigh so differently. So a taser is probably about 8 ounces. Her gun was 2.6 pounds. And they both had, you know, safety mechanisms on them. So what do you mean that you didn't know that you were holding your gun and not your taser?
Especially a veteran officer.
26 years on the force.
President of the police union or some shit like that.
I'm just so tired. I'm like, I cannot. Life is hard enough as it is, just like the daily shit that we got to deal with, to then also have to deal with seeing people that look like you die on a daily basis. And it's like one after another, like 2 days before that or a couple of days before that, it was the lieutenant that got pulled over and pepper sprayed, even though he was being compliant.
Mm-hmm.
And you have like, you know, so basically that means that he is out there risking his life to protect us in the military. And he comes back to this country and the police officers don't even respect him in uniform. It wasn't like he wasn't in uniform. He is in uniform.
In full uniform.
Do you think those police officers would have done that to a white person that was in uniform?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
They talked to him like a dog too. It was so disrespectful the way that, you know, he was doing everything by the book. You know, sir, I don't want to move my hands. I'm afraid. You should be afraid. It's just the way that they were communicating with him.
Yeah, it's exhausting. The entire thing is just exhausting. And then we got to come here and talk about it. Because it's in, you know, every publication, it's every headline, it's on the news. You cannot get away from it. And to not get away from it and then to live it, it's just, like I said, it's exhausting.
On top of, you have the trial of for the George Floyd policeman going on at the same time, which happened at the same area as the last killing. So it's just one thing after another after another.
Just a lot going on. And it's just like, and I can only imagine how it feels for so many people who actually live in, like, I mean, it could happen anywhere, but I feel like in certain areas, like for some reason, like, you know, Minnesota is the hot spot, right? Didn't this happen in Minnesota?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot. Like, I don't know what the solution is, what the remedy is, like what, you know, has to be done. Like, I mean, it's getting me to the point where it feels like it needs to be an eye for eye. So like, you know,
that's what they don't want.
That's what they don't want. But I'm
that's
like,
that's what they don't want.
What's the solution? Like, how can you, you know, and then she resigned. So she's like, okay, I'm just going to resign. Like, no, you should have been fired. First of all, but it's not just going to go away because you decide that, you know, you're done.
You know, I'm not mad at eye for an eye, honestly. I think that might, you know, that might make some people feel better. People might pay attention.
Yeah. It's shocking. It's a very shocking situation that I feel that, you know, that we are unfortunately have to deal with on a daily basis. And it weighs you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it weighs you down to have to see something like that all the time and deal with that. And then we are expected as people of color to go on about our days and to remain calm and keep the peace. No, we can't remain calm and keep the peace when we are being murdered. Like how is those two things to, you know, supposed to coexist? And then, you know, and let the justice system do what it needs to do. And how many times has the justice system failed us? You know, I don't have any belief that in the George Floyd trial that is going to turn out in a way that is different from how it normally turns out, which is with the police officers getting away with it.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if it ends any other way. Like, I've already prepared my spirit for it to end that way. As sad as that sounds.
Because we know. We know the whole situation, the whole setup is for us not to win, for us not to prevail in situations where we need justice. And you know, and the crazy thing about it is that you think that it only happens in certain places, but one thing that reminded me of it was what happened in Manhattan Beach just recently. There was, you know, I think it's Bruce's Beach is the name of it, right? So there's a beach that was in, I think, the early 1900s, if not before then, but I think that was around that time, like, you know, early 1900s, that was a black beach and where, you know, people of color would go and enjoy the beach and have fun and have beach days. And at some point, I think it's the state of California seized the property.
Correct. They wanted it. It was owned by a black family and the state was like, actually, we're going to take this and make it a public situation. So they took it.
They took it. And I do distinctly remember and know that area. Cause I mean, I go from time to time, I go to Manhattan Beach cause it's really beautiful. Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like a, like, you know, what do you call it when it's like a cliff, not cliff, but it's kind of like it is steps down. It kind of like, it has different levels to it as you go down towards the beach. And, you know, and to think that that was owned by a Black family. And recently, I guess, because, you know, it's been getting more and more attention, it is, they're starting the process to return that back to the descendants of the original family. Owners.
And I think it's something to do with like the way that it was seized was illegal or something like that. And so now that it's being looked at, yeah, they're starting the process.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because they're not getting the full value of what it would be worth today. You know, it's like $72 million or something like that, but it would be worth way more if they had been able to keep it all along.
Right.
So.
Damn, that's a great story.
It's a great story.
It is. I think the LA Times has a really good article just kind of like running through the entire history.
I am totally looking that up.
And it's $72 million at least worth at least $72
million. Mm-hmm.
And I hope and pray that they do come back and make it some type of place for people of color. Because, you know, Manhattan Beach has a problem anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's what's so very racist. I mean, it's very funny because they do want, they had like all the pro Trump parades and shit there. So I bet they're losing their minds, which is fine with me. They can explode for all I care.
They just had a White Lives Matter rally down there over the weekend.
Oh God. I give up.
And they were more, you know, I think it was more counter protesters.
Yeah, it was more counter protesters than the actual people there for them to, you know.
Oh, well, that's good.
It's just a lot going on.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, but I mean, it just makes you think. I mean, that's right down the street from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other week I was seeing something where some picture where people had KKK hoodies on at Harvard.
That,
it was
that
some story
out.
I was looking at.
That checks out.
Mm-hmm. Checks out. So, I mean, this country is just ate up with it.
You know, California is not like the liberal safe haven that I thought it was when I was younger. I mean, you know, Los Angeles and San Francisco, we have some really great pockets, but you know, even within those pockets, there are some really, really scary pockets of just racist people.
I didn't learn that until last year during the election. And I would drive through Beverly Hills and see the Trump rallies. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Because you think Beverly Hills, oh, rich and famous and the actors in Hollywood. No, it was thousands of Trump supporters every weekend down there beeping and yelling and everything.
Welcome. Yeah, it's just, you know. Yeah, it's just like sometimes you look at the stuff and it's just like, wow. It's like, you know, you want to believe that is far off and it's not so close to you. And then you're reminded that it is, and very much so, very close to you. And if you think about like all those different various Karens, those Karens were happening in major cities.
Mm-hmm.
Those Karens were happening. A lot of those Karens were in California. But anyway, I mean, I'm going to try to pivot away from racism.
Okay, let's liven it up a little bit.
Police brutality and things of that nature to, you know, Black women going in on each other. The Housewives of Atlanta. So I recently saw an interview that Marlo had done, and she, like the way she lit into Portia, I don't know what, and maybe you guys know, like, but I don't know what Portia said that pissed Marlo off, but she definitely basically confirmed that, you know, Strippergate happened and that, you know, she was in the room taking it deep, and she, meaning Portia, was in the room taking it deep with Bola from Bolo. And that she also went on and said that it was a smell.
Oh, shit.
Didn't she say that?
She did. She
said it was a smell, and that it was, you know, just really, It was like all type of things going on. She said, you know, because I think they were trying to get to the bottom of like what was what actually was happening or what types of things were happening. And she was like, from the smell of it, it was like all types of things.
Not a pungent pussy. That's nasty. That is nasty. But yeah, so I mean, after like the stuff aired, if I'm not mistaken, Portia got on Dish Nation and had accused Marlo of mixing her lipo medication with alcohol that night when she popped off at the dinner. And that's why she, I guess, was acting a certain way. And so then Marlo got on Instagram and was like, first of all, I don't do drugs. That's not my thing. First, you lied about Candy doing drugs. Now you're trying to bring it over here. And that's why you were wearing fake Chanel or something like that. So that's kind of where it started. And then she did the interview and just kind of let the chopper sing.
Yeah, and she just let it, and then had the nerve to be like, well, I think me and Portia will be friends in the future. What?
Right. Marlo says that about everybody, though. She just, I don't know what her end game is.
I mean,
is,
I'll never forget, you know, the thing about it is like, if, I just feel like this, if we were never really good friends, if you could so quickly take it there.
Hello?
That's my whole thing. And I feel like there have been people who, you know, I have dealt with this in my life, where it's like people, I felt like they were waiting for the time where we would fall out so they could say how they truly felt about me. Because, you know, even with friends, like I don't, like people that I are no longer close to, I'm not going to take it to a certain place. And there's certain information and things that I wouldn't say or reveal just because of the fact that we were friends. But I think that there are people who were never your friends. And once you give them the slightest inclination that you're about to be done with them and you're all falling out, they just, like you, what you said, let the chopper fly.
Let the chopper sing. They just lay it there.
Let the chopper sing.
It's unfortunate, but I mean, it's also TV. So,
yeah.
I mean, are there any real friends in reality TV? Maybe. No.
I mean, but the thing is about it, the whole situation is set up in a manner where how would one be friends in that type of context? Where the producers are trying to cause drama. Because let's face it, what people want to watch is drama.
Mm-hmm.
So even in, like I can imagine even in friendship, like if, you know, looking at Married to Medicine and what has happened with Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone, like they made a pact going into the show that they would never let anything come in between their friendship. And they were the closest friends of anyone on the show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they had a real friendship going back 20 years.
And now they are, I can just tell, like Dr. Simone is not, and Dr. Jackie are not being 100% clear about the fact that the friendship, the way it was, is over.
Yeah.
I don't think is no way back from it. And I like Heavenly, but I understand how Dr. Simone feels. I know we made a pivot from Housewives of Atlanta to Married to Medicine.
That's fine. But same thing.
You know, but I'm that type of person. Like, you cannot, like, Dr. Heavenly says some crazy derogatory things about Dr. Simone's husband and their marriage. And then supposed to be my best friend, you know, her best friend is Dr. Jackie, then befriends and becomes close to Dr. Heavenly. So that, you know what I mean? That in of itself is like why their friendship would never be back where it was, because you can't be going and befriend somebody that was talking that level of smack about me and my husband.
Right.
That's just fundamental. And then they get on like all these different, you know, episodes and stuff and acting like, you know, why can't they bring it back together? Why can't they get back together? Because I mean, that's what it is. It's like, you know, are you going to talk about the root of the problem? And I think on the last reunion they did, but they tried to pretend like that conversation didn't happen. I mean, certain things just don't change. It's like, you befriended a person that was talking shit about me and my family. Like, how would one go back to a close friendship? I mean, they keep just circling the drain. Just go down the drain. It's like, it's done.
You know?
So yeah, so that's going on. And, you know, I saw another story about how Usher had, you know, he had thrown out some, you know, some fake money in the club with his face on it.
And I don't know what happened.
The strippers, I guess, had popped off.
It was just a bad idea.
And then it turned out he did. You said what?
It was just a bad idea. The whole thing. Mm-hmm. Just a bad idea. And I don't necessarily think I buy the story that his entourage left it behind for promo. I think that if anything, he was throwing it to be stupid. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it blew up. I don't think that he was trying to pay them in money. Let's be clear. But I also mm-hmm. don't think that anybody's entourage would show up to a strip club with the money that, the person was posing with on Instagram and be like, oh, let's leave this behind for promo in some concerted effort. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me at all. But it worked because everybody's talking about it. Is that going to make me want to go see him in Vegas? Probably not. But, I mean, it's cute for the timeline, I guess.
Yep.
That's all I got.
It's just, you know, it's just a lot of different random things.
The way Archer's been moving these past couple of years has kind of been a little eye-raising. So
he's too grown.
It's obvious that he's going through some things. You know, you can tell. He's just going through some things.
Like, didn't you just have a baby like a month ago? Why are you in the strip club anyway?
Because I think they said there was promotion for his upcoming residency. Right? So that's what
I mean, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't just do a tweet.
Isn't there other ways to promote a residency than throwing money in the strip?
You couldn't go to Good Morning America? You couldn't do a radio interview? You had to go throw money with your face on it?
And when are they going? When is it starting? Are
July.
People back in Vegas going to shows now already?
Oh, they never stopped. Vegas has been open. I don't know about the shows, but they've been doing, you know, God knows what. Right, and, didn't you go?
You say what now?
I said, didn't you go to Vegas on your lovely excursion?
I did go to Vegas. I did not want to go to Vegas, but I went, you know, and I was checking out the real estate that was there. That was what we talked about last episode mm-hmm. about how I went. And unfortunately,
it was wide open.
It's wide open. And it was like everyone smoking and gambling and not wearing a mask. It was a lot for me. Because, you know, I'm just traumatized from the last year. And just to go to somewhere where it's just like no regard, as if it never happened, is a bit much. And I was like, if you are in an environment where you're constantly around smoke and you just so happen to contract COVID, like it might be a wrap because it was just hard for me to breathe just in general, much less if I had, you know, some type of issue with my lungs. And speaking of COVID, I hate that this happened because it's going to give the anti-vaxxers, like they're going to have a field day with this. But Johnson & Johnson had to, you know, basically, well, CDC and FDA called for Johnson & Johnson to pause, you know, the distribution of their vaccines because of the fact that it was causing blood clots. And I think about six patients, they started developing severe blood clots, and that was enough for them to say that we can't move forward, you know. And I know a lot of people have already gotten the Johnson & Johnson shot. Mm-hmm. And so I just like, I hate the fact that we were almost like, hopefully people will continue to go ahead and get the vaccination and keep it moving, you know?
I wonder what it is about these six, because I mean, the rate isn't high at all, but I mean, what is it about these six that they're like, oh, we're just going to pull this one?
I'm not sure what happened with these six, but something similar to this happened in Europe.
With the AstraZeneca.
Mm-hmm. A couple months ago, they had people were getting a very small number were getting blood clots, and they paused, you know, giving out the vaccine, and then I guess they looked into it and then resumed, and people are back getting it. So, and they don't have the same, you know, the three options of vaccines; they have all just that one.
Yeah, I do hope people aren't too alarmed, because you know what else gives you blood clots? COVID. So get the vaccine and just keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. And speaking of keeping it moving, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have agreed to joint custody of their kids.
It's poor babies.
Yeah. It's just like, and they had all the kids. Somebody said that recent picture of Kim is giving, like, you know, me and my baby's gonna have a good life. Right. And then another one was saying, like, Kim is, like, looking like, you know, like an Ethiopian mama, her four Ethiopian kids. I'm like, this is just too much. It's just too much going on.
I mean, I think Kim as a mom is going to be fine. It's just the idea of sending those kids to Kanye at any point in time just freaks me out.
Right.
It does. And I don't know from, like, a structural standpoint, like, what is Kanye's parenting philosophy exactly? Do we know?
Right.
Because if it's anything like his other philosophies, I think those kids might be in trouble.
Yeah, I think that what they're hoping for is just trying to, that he stays on his medication. They want this to be as smooth as possible. Mm-hmm. They don't want to have to, you know, him to do any more Twitter rants. Right. Like, I think that's what they're hoping is just kind of like, let's just agree to this.
Joint custody. Kim will have him 90% of the time and Kanye will just have to deal. Right. And then if he does pop off, then we have some cards we can play in the event we have to.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I also see that after all this time, you know, like when we are basically done with the whole saga, here comes Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown is going to appear on the Red Table Talk and reveal who's responsible for Whitney Houston's death.
Oh, shit. And Bobby Christine's.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, and you know, the most shocking thing. Child, I don't know.
I thought we didn't do that.
And that, the thing that we didn't do was to see that recent picture of him from the show. That shocked the shit out of me.
Oh, my God. I said, who the hell?
I mean, life has been hard. Life has been kicking his ass.
And that's straight from Facebook. That's the picture that they emailed me. So that's the one I used.
You should have hit return to sender because, oh, my God. That was the most shocking thing. I couldn't even focus on what he was going to be talking about. I was looking at that mug. Mm. It's like, I was thinking to myself, it's like, is he living?
Okay.
And the way he looked, it looked like he wasn't with her. Like, that is like, I mean, shit. I mean, woo, baby. What else did we talk? Oh, DMX passed away. Did we talk about it last time? Or did we do?
No.
I think we did.
Well, we did.
I think we knew that he was about to. It was all the news.
I think I had said that on the last show, I said I had been hearing that he was brain dead.
Yeah.
And it turns out that was true. And then they had to make the decision to take him off of life support. And what was really, is it, you know what I'm saying? This, like, so what was crazy and really indicative of how whack digital media, you know, just in media in general right now can be, is that we already knew this was a likely outcome. I don't understand why people were really trying to be the first to say that he actually, you know, passed away when we knew that was coming. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, it's different to say if you're just going to come out of nowhere and say this person passed away. You know, that's a story that's shocking.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that would be, unfortunately, something that people would want to jockey to be the first to put out. But once it's already put out that he had already had, you know, had to be brought back three times, that he's on life support, that they're running tests about brain activity, then do we really need to be, you know, having a race to kind of see who can come to social media to announce that the person has actually passed away?
No, there is no scoop there. There's no scoop.
Only to know that you're going to have to retract it. And then one particular outlet that I saw, they retracted it and they said, oh, well, we saw a story on someone's Instagram that said that, you know, that's why we reported it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Desperate for a
scoop. That's how you know. And if it's always the people who are not close friends of the person trying to report the stuff as if they, you know, my friend is gone. Because if you were really like close friends with someone, I don't think that's what you should be doing. You would be actually mourning. Yes, it's performative and it's just tacky. It's just tacky. It's like super, you know, it's just like, oh my goodness, Jesus Christ. You know, I see certain things and I just roll my eyes. I'm like, Lord. I see that, you know, Sharon Osbourne is not trying to let it go. She's not. She's just still has a lot to say. She revealed, she put out text messages that she sent to Shira Underwood, and Shira Underwood says she didn't respond to Sharon Osbourne texts, probably because she knew she was a racist. What do you guys, I mean, what do you think about
that?
Here's
the thing. Like, I, as much as I don't see it for Sharon, if somebody were to come out and be like, nope, I hadn't heard from her, and I know that I had sent her these messages, I would come out and be like, well, actually, no, she did. She did. Mm-hmm. She didn't respond. We didn't talk about it, but you can't say, like, I didn't reach out. So I understand Sharon doing that, because she basically, like, tried to make it seem like she just didn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't a good look on Cheryl's part when Sharon's, you know, oh, here, I got the receipts. And then yesterday, Cheryl came out on the show and she said, oh, yeah, well, I couldn't respond because I wasn't sure if I was allowed to legally with everything going on with her leaving the show.
Mm-hmm. And it's very different from somebody not reaching out at all.
Correct.
So,
and to put out a 3-part podcast saying that you hadn't heard, or, you know, there's no communication. It's like, oh, come on, girl.
That ain't true. That ain't true. But what I will say, I mean, I think this is the most anybody has ever talked about the talk in the history of the show.
Yeah, correct.
So if the talk was dying, it may have survived another year because of this.
Just, I mean, honestly, I feel like the talk should have been thrown away a long time ago. It should never have happened, because it's such a direct knockoff of The View that is sickening. Mm-hmm. It's like, can we just like let The View be The View? Like, we don't actually need another View. Like, I mean, The View itself is holding on.
Is that the one Eve
was
on?
We didn't need to talk.
Wasn't Eve on the talk? Was she on the chair?
Yeah, she was. Eve was on the talk. And it's like musical chairs. A lot of people, you know, coming in and out. Mm-hmm. And then I did see something that I don't know how I would respond to this. Like, you know, the Louisiana 911 dispatcher that was arrested for refusing $1.2 million that was accidentally deposited in her account.
I'm laughing because that story tickled me. I said, you know what, bitch, same.
Right?
Same. I mean, she played it wrong. I mean, I would have transferred it out of the country and then dipped. Right.
And then dipped with the money.
Correct. So I couldn't. So they couldn't. They wouldn't have any power over it if I stayed over there. But
it would have been a good one and a two.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because I was reading the complaint, which is in the post on LibbyScott.com, and there may be some wiggle room that she has to like keep it. There might be some. Depends on her attorneys, but I could see some gray areas in that for sure.
Then I was saying too, we've been running a lot of stories about these parents that have been killing their children. Mm. It's been a lot. It's been more than like three. It was one that put the kids in the backhoe and then ran over them. And then it was another one who was arrested after she, you know, three children, all in the age of five, were found stabbed to death. You know, so it's like, it's been story after story. I'm like, what's happening? People are like,
open the schools. Yeah. Yes, parents are losing their minds.
They're like, we got to kill these kids.
Basically.
Like, what the fuck? I mean, it's not funny that it's happening, but it's funny in terms of like, whoa, like people must be really stressed at home with these kids.
I'm clearly.
Like, how are you going to put the kids in the backhoe? Like, how does that... I mean, of all the ways to get rid of, you know, to do something, like, you're going to put them in the backhoe, drop them out the backhoe, and run out. Like, that is way too much.
What's a backhoe?
The backhoe is the... Oh, you trying to come from my North Carolina ways?
No, I don't know what it is.
It's the thing that, you know, the thing where you scoop up. It's like a tractor that has thing on the front.
The wheelbarrow?
Oh. Yeah, no, it has, you know, the ones where they kind of like... What do you call it? Somebody help me.
Like
bulldozer.
It's like a tractor.
It's a bulldozer.
It's a rear actor or a back actor, also called a backhoe. It's a type of excavating equipment or a digger. Oh, a digger.
There you go.
See, I know a digger. I know exactly. I had a term, a backhoe.
I bet you do. That would reach you. Not the backhoe, but the digger. Okay. Okay. I get it now. I have to speak your language. What else has been going on? I mean, I knew that Chet Hanks was corny, but I had no idea that he would play himself to this level.
Oh my goodness.
It was only a matter of time. You know why? Because he's white. And they always do.
It's just like, I mean, all you had to do is spend Tom Hanks' money. Like, why do you have to go and do this? It's like the Steven Spielberg Berg's daughter who wanted a Korean porn. Like, just spend daddy's money. That's all you had. You had one job, which is to spend the millions and millions of dollars.
And be Tom Hanks' son.
Right.
Period.
No, we don't want a white boy summer. No, we don't want white anything right now. Like, we just don't. It's like, no white, nothing.
We can eat.
And then he had the nerve to go ahead and release this after he just called that other woman a ghetto black bitch, right? Didn't he say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His girlfriend, they got in an altercation, whatever the case may be, and she came forward and said he called her a ghetto black bitch. Okay, well, then you have been canceled. The cancellation papers have been ordered and they have been stamped. It's official. And so we don't want to see no video talking about no white boy summer. If you don't go somewhere and get...
Like, what does that even look like?
I can't even bring myself to watch the video.
Did he put the full thing out? I just saw the clip and I was mortified.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. It was that he was, you know, teasing the clip. And then we have this whole, you know, crazy situation with the head of New York Black Lives Matter chapter calls for an investigation of after co-founder spends $3 million on 4 homes.
I guess she was trying to have a white boy summer too. Just kidding. No. You know, I think that it's what am I trying to say? Let me be delicate here. I think that it's unfortunate that she is being targeted or singled out, because I think that if they were to do a wider investigation, I think that they would find that there's probably a lot of money being spent in questionable ways.
Absolutely. And then she, I guess, I saw somewhere a source close to her or her herself had put out, you know, she had got all these other opportunities that, you know, she signed some type of development deal and some other things. And so that's what they are pointing to in terms of where this money came from, you know. And I think it's just, for me, it just looks bad.
It looks bad, especially when some of those homes are like international. They're like vacation homes. And I think, I saw one like a private beach. Listen, hello, Clocky.
She was doing like that woman who received
the $1.2 million. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
She was doing what that woman tried to do but couldn't do it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that excuse would work if people, I think, on the other side don't know how like other opportunities and development deals don't typically come with that type of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you know, you know. And we know that's not where it came from.
Correct.
So.
Well.
You know, I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen to her. I just, it's one of those PR blunders, but nothing ever happens to people who tend to, you know, take advantage of movements.
And, yeah, it's a lot going on. Then I saw, speaking of movements, Nick Cannon's sperm has been doing some movements.
My goodness gracious.
He has super sperm, like nuclear sperm, like. This is his second set of twins. He announced that, you know, that he's having, we knew twins were coming, but we didn't know it's twin boys. So that's like, wow. Like as soon as it goes to work, it's like, baby, that's his second set. Him and Mariah has a set of twins. And now he's having a set of twins by this. I think he already has it. Does he already have a child by her, right?
Who is this one? Brittany or the other or the new girl?
I don't know.
No, I think it's a different girl.
It's a different. Okay, yeah, it might be. So Brittany has one, right?
Brittany has one, and then there's another girl that has one.
Jeez. Yeah,
and then now this girl has two, and I think these are all of the three that he spent Valentine's Day with or around or on Zoom. I don't know.
He could open up a school.
See, that's why he had to. He had to open a school, and that's why he had to retract all that shit he said about the Jewish people.
Okay.
Because he got 11,000 kids on the way. You got to support these kids now. You got to get back to the damn Nick Cannon show, you know, like just basically, you know, Nick Cannon, I mean, like to be honest, like he is the black person that white people like to go to host things, to, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know at what point did he ever become like militant. Like he got militant and then got beside himself and started going in on Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. When he started wearing the turban.
And I guess the reality, yep, that turban probably was fucking his brain. It was doing something. Because it was foolishness going on. Like it was a disconnect. And he was like popped off as if he don't need this money for all these kids coming out. Like it's just crazy. Like, and then I feel bad for, and I don't really feel bad, but it's like right after, you know, some situation that he had, like, I think it was like 6 or 7 months ago, one of the model girls, Jessica, right? Jessica White went out talking about they soulmates and they belong together no matter what. And then he started having babies with all these other women.
It was like the next week. It was literally like the next week, the other girl was like, I'm having Nick Cannon's baby.
And she just put a post up yesterday saying, leave her name out of it. She ain't bothering nobody. Let them be blessed.
I tell you, you know, I think it's just, you know, on that note, I just don't have nothing left today. It's just too much. It's like all the discombobulation of the stories and everything. It's just, everything is just so, like, it's so laughable. Like, it's just, you know. Like Nick is out of nowhere just having all these kids. Like,
okay. Nick the Cannon.
Okay. Anything else, guys, y'all want to talk about?
Anything else happened today? No, not really.
Yeah, we came in there. Mm-hmm. We did what we needed to do. And I'm very grateful for all the Love Muffins that have been listening to the podcast. I got some really nice, sweet DMs from my Love Muffins and about the last episode where I was talking about how in life you're going to have some good things going on and some bad things going on, and how that type of perspective helped people a lot when they were, you know, going through a difficult time. And I've always said if I can, and what I do or the work that I've done can help one person, then it's enough. And so I definitely appreciate when you guys let me know that you are listening to the podcast, and maybe some of the things that I have said has had some type of positive effect on your life. And until that, on that note, until next time, double kisses. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.